like to welcome you again to Great Resolutions. My name is Marty Robert, and with me again today is Bill Lawson. Welcome, Bill.
Yeah, it's good to be back, Marty. It's been quite a while since we've been together on this program.
Well, Bill, we're taking a jump in history today. We've been in the time of the Reformation, and today we're coming up to the around the end of the 18th and the beginning of the 19th century to talk about something that actually happened in our country. Actually, it's closer to you. It was something that happened at Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts. And this was in the summer of 1806. Many people know it as the Haystack Prayer Meeting. But it was a time when five young men, five college students at Williams College, they just gathered together on their campus to pray and to fellowship regarding the Lord's interest at that time. And they had, this was according to their practice, they used to do this every Wednesday and Saturday afternoons. They would just come together and pray for their classmates at their school. And they also, in their fellowship, were led to consider something broader than even their own campus. They began to pick up a burden that the Lord would be able to reach out to other peoples in other nations, and they really picked up the Lord's commission for the gospel to reach the whole earth. So this began, I don't know, Bill, if you ever been up in that area around Williamstown, Massachusetts?
I've been mainly there to Northfield, Massachusetts, way up there in Massachusetts on D.L. Moody's house and home and burial site. But I have not been to Williams College. It's probably a couple hours, two and a half hours from us here in Connecticut. But what happened there, as you said, was quite monumental.
Yeah, so it was a time that when these young students got together, actually sometimes, especially during the colder months, they would actually go into town off their campus and meet sometimes with the townspeople, some other believers, and especially there was one older sister who was about a mile from the campus, and she would open her home. But in the warmer months, they would just gather along this river. It's called the Hoosac River, right in a meadow nearby the campus. And it just so happened that one Saturday afternoon when they were gathered there, a thunderstorm blew into the area, and so these students, they ran to take shelter from the lightning and the rain, and all they could find was a kind of a partially protected space near a haystack out there in the field. So they ran and took a little bit of shelter there, and they just waited out the storm, but they continued to pray during that time. And you know, something you had to say, Bill, something more than just a outward visible wind was blowing or storm was blowing that day. You could really say the Holy Spirit was really motivating them, blowing and moving within them. And actually not only them, but even during this whole time period, there was a number of believers who were coming to the Lord in salvation to be born again. And even the existing believers, there was a real stirring up from the Lord to seek something further. And this was exactly what was going on in these five college students. They had began to have more of a yearning to for the gospel to go out to other lands.
That's really so, Marty. During this time, like you say, it was not merely a physical blowing of the wind with lightning. It was something of the Lord's move in that at that time, like you said, in 1806, there on that small college, Williams College. At that time, too, many of these students, and Christian believers students, they had heard of ones like William Carey, who took the gospel to India. They heard in New England about John Eliot and David Brainerd. You know, these were missionaries that took the gospel to the American Indians, mm-hmm. used by the Lord very much to touch the Indians. They also heard of the Moravian missionaries right out of Moravia,
right?
You know, in Germany at that time. And these Moravians were working among the Indians there in Pennsylvania. And then, you know, as these group of five began to pray, you know, this haystack thing is really a marvelous what the Lord could do to, with just a group of five young college students. they began to realize that the Lord was awakening in them a desire not merely to preach the gospel to their fellow students there at Williams College, but also what about the unbelievers overseas? What about the foreign lands? What about Asia?
Mm-hmm.
And then one of the brothers said, well, we can do it if we will. Then they resolved, as is like a small band of five of them, resolved to consecrate themselves, to be used by the Lord, to follow the Spirit's breath. Then really this little prayer meeting became a landmark.
Mm-hmm.
Even used today, it's called the Haystack Prayer Meeting. Really, it's the birthplace of the American foreign missions. So it was just what the Lord was doing at the time. The Lord used five students and then college, right, to do a mighty work there. They were just handed, being handed the baton from those believers that have gone before them. So they were really stirred up and really used by the Lord to do something in New England at the turn of the century. It's like they were responding to, you know, what the Lord spoke in Matthew 28:19 to those disciples when the Lord was in resurrection, to go and disciple all the nations. Just like in Acts 2. The disciples were gathered together in prayer, and then there was a mighty blowing wind, right, invisible.
Right.
Yet it empowered them. It was the outworking, the outpouring of the Spirit upon them, empowering them, Lord, for the Lord's ministry and His move. So this was really quite a monumental thing.
Well, while these five students, and of course they had some other companions, who are also believers at the time, and but you have to say still this was not the general condition of all the students on their campus there at Williams
right.
College, and probably not too different than today. You know, the students at that time were largely being influenced by the philosophies of the day,
right?
And of course, at that time it was a lot of social and political upheaval was happening, especially in France. And kind of an attitude of skepticism and ridicule, especially regarding the things of the Lord, was becoming more common among the students. So they considered the believers began to stand out and be a little, of course, they had a separated testimony, but they became, I think they were called, and maybe in a joking way, they were called serious. These students are serious. But actually, there was something in them, you know, considering the deeper things and what is the meaning of their lives. And so these serious ones, especially these five, they gathered together, and they would do this frequently. In fact, they formed a little group. They called themselves the Brethren. And they decided to have a little purpose among them that they would, and all their members, their goal was that they would be in readiness to go on a mission when and wherever duty would call them. So, of course, they did get involved in preaching the gospel on their campus, and they were burdened to teach the truth. And we know that if you read their stories and all, you find out not necessarily all of them ended up in a foreign field, but they had this one statement I thought, Bill, was very interesting. They said, these men, they reached out to lives in which Christ was foreign, and not simply to lives dwelling in foreign lands.
Right.
So anyway, you could see their burden was really for the gospel and that all men would come to know the Lord through salvation. So they went out, you know, and they reached not only their fellow students, but even they touched some of the soldiers at that time. Some of them went to prisoners. Some of them touched slaves, especially in the South. You know, they would take little gospel trips. But eventually, some of the brothers did end up going out. And one of the brothers went to what's known today as Sri Lanka. And I guess it took quite a while for this all to be worked out and for a group to be formed so that they could pray and give for the furtherance of the gospel in these foreign lands. But this brother, he said eventually he had to wait with anxiety for almost 8 years
mm-hmm.
for an opportunity to go and preach Christ. And anyway, he said the day he was leaving was the happiest day of his life.
Right.
So this little time at Williams College there was quite significant. In fact, they put a little monument there, Bill, with a round ball at the top of this monument to symbolize the world as a globe.
Right.
And that really was their testimony. Their hearts were enlarged, and it caused them to pray for the whole world, not just for their campus.
Yeah, really. So, Marty, it reminds me when I went to visit the John Wesley home and house there in London. Outside his home, they have a big statue of John Wesley, and with an engrave etched in stone there, where Wesley said, "The world is my parish." Not just a little bit of England, but he was burdened for the whole world. Like these five young students there at Williams, they were really quite burdened to bring the gospel. They had large hearts, they had a broad view, they had a willingness to go propagate the gospel with a spirit of love. They were really inspired with a vision to conquer the world for Christ.
Right.
Really an inspiring story. The Spirit, you might say, well, who was taking the lead among them? Well, we could say probably the Holy Spirit was the one leading and guiding them. They
Right.
were just following the Lamb. One of these five prayer companions, he was named Samuel Mills. He was just merely a freshman there at Williams. But of course, being young and full of zeal, full of burden to bring the gospel to the lost in the foreign lands, he was raised up by the Lord to be one of these five. He was born in April of 1783, believing parents. His father was a pastor. Mother was a good pattern, and of course she, like Hannah, dedicated Samuel to the Lord even before he was born, and even prayed like Hannah in the Old Testament that her son Samuel would be used by the Lord. She believed the Scripture, where it tells us to train up their children in the way they should go, and when they get older, they would not depart from the Lord's way. That's in Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 6, right? She was once overheard by her son Samuel saying that I have consecrated this child to the service of God as a missionary. Probably Samuel never forgot that. Of course, he received some kind of religious instruction while he was young. When he was 15, he was jealous when he saw his brothers and sisters and friends touched by the Lord. So he became somewhat bitter. So, not on a somewhat positive side, but on a negative light, he became rebellious. And of course, he was miserable for a couple years. And then the Lord, however, was doing a sanctifying work upon him through the prayers of his family members.
Yeah, his story, Bill, is really interesting, especially his mother, who really prayed for him frequently, and once in a while she would attempt to get her son to open up and reveal his inward feelings to her. Of course, Samuel, he was a little bit shy and he kept to himself and he kept silent when she asked him. But eventually, the biographies of him tell us that his tears just eventually just came out when his mother started to inquire what's really going on in his life. And he was, like you say, he was somewhat bitter and rebellious right at that time. And he made declarations like, "Oh, I wish I had never been born, and I'm sorry that God even ever made me." But of course, his mother was a real believer, and she spoke strong and straightforward to him, and she told him, "You are born, and you can never throw off your existence, and you are accountable for all your conduct." And so she told him straightforward that you don't really know the evil in your own heart. And of course, Samuel, that was a hard word for him, and he resisted it. And he told her that he'd seen the very bottom of hell. But anyway, he left his mother, sound like, not in the best state, which really caused his mother really to come to the Lord and really plead his case before God on her knees. And She prayed. In the meantime, he was out taking a walk, walking away from the house, and the Lord just came to him and subdued him. I was really touched by reading this. It was her prayer,
Yeah.
and the Lord's operating, and he was just subdued, and his heart was softened, and
Right.
the rebellion just seemed to evaporate, and the Lord's mercy just reached him, and he found Christ. He found
Right.
new peace and hope in the Lord, and he became a new creation
Right.
in the Lord. And of course, right away when he got revived, all that was put into him over these many years through his parents began to rise up in him. And of course, right away he returned home to his father, and he told his father that he could not conceive of any course for his life in which to pass the rest of his days that would prove to be so pleasant as to go and communicate the gospel of salvation to the poor heathen. So, of course, Samuel, he jumped right into the work of revival that was already taking place in his town, and he enrolled at the Williams College, and it was just a few months later that this prayer meeting took place where they began to really pray for the Lord sending some out to other countries for the sake of the gospel.
Right, the marvelous conclusion. He did, Marty, eventually graduate from Williams College, in 1809. He went further to more education at Andover Seminary. That's in Newton, Massachusetts. It's only a couple hours from where I am. They continued their mission work with a small group of students. And then eventually, from those students, very famous, the first American foreign mission called the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions, right? That was begun, right? And then soon after that, in 1812, that mission board sent missionaries to various countries around the world. And I remember when I went to Oberlin College there in Oberlin, Ohio, a few years ago. They have that monument to those some of the missionaries that were martyred during the Boxer Rebellion in China in 1900. And I remember on those plaques there, they have a number of missionaries that were martyred that belong to the American, Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions. They were some that were killed by the Boxers, so they were very much used by the Lord. One of those notable young men, among these, not among the original five students, but among the others, was Adoniram Judson, right? He labored for the Lord. He went to Burma, of course, today is Myanmar, translating the Bible into Burmese, produced a Burmese English dictionary. That American Board of Commissioners, that mission board, they promoted home missions. Mainly among the American Indians to gospelize the American Indians. And then they also this for this foreign missions missionary group, they promoted even home missions among the American Indians to diffuse the knowledge of the gospel to all the unbelievers. Many, of course, of the young men and women, they were prayed over and sent forth in mission fields. Then missionary magazines began to be written about what they were doing. Eventually, of course, Samuel Mills was used by the Lord over the next few years to stir up, right, the young people regarding their gospel responsibilities. He wanted to bring others into this same burden. So he and companions, some other people, they really incited a number of young men and women to go to school at Yale and Princeton. Of course, I'm only 45 minutes here from Yale in New Haven, Connecticut, and we like to take visitors to this particular building there at Yale, where a number of these missionaries were sent by Yale to China, the Yale in China. So that was really quite an undertaking. And they were sent to other schools to gospelize those in Africa, India, China. Of course, I mentioned China, even elsewhere.
Yeah, these students really initiated something of the Lord that really developed over the years. And of course, Samuel Mills himself, he really went forth with distributing the scriptures and tracts, And he actually had a burden for the slaves in the southern states right here in the US. And one time he was on his way back from a trip to Africa, and he became ill at the at sea, and he died at a young age of 35.
Yeah, that's really young.
So anyway, his testimony was one of many who really went forth bearing the precious seed to scatter over all the earth. And here's one little statement he made in his diary. He said, "Oh, how unworthy we are at this institution to partake of the crumbs that fall from our master's table."
Wow.
He said, "Blessed be God, he has, as I trust, wrought a good work upon the hearts of some, and is forcing conviction and light upon the mind of others. I hope nothing may retard the progress of this most glorious work." So, anyway, like you say, Bill, it's really amazing what happened, the testimony. And I think their testimony still speaks today to this generation.
Right.
And actually, I was considering, you could take a look at this and consider the significance maybe in three ways. One is,
Yeah.
the Lord often calls young people to initiate something for his move.
Right.
Of course, the enemy, Satan, likes to lie to us and tell us, "Oh, you're too young, you're of no value to the Lord or for his purpose." We can really see from this case that's really a lie. Look what the Lord did with this small band of college students to further his interest.
Right.
Then number two is we should not despise a small gathering, even just a small number. In this case, was only five.
Right.
Just five college students came together.
Right.
And then third, of course, this is similar to the Lord's move in the book of Acts. We can learn that the Lord often waits for some to agree with him in prayer in order to further his move. I don't know if you recall that footnote, Bill, in the book of Acts in chapter 1, verse 14, where it speaks about the disciples gathered together there in one accord to pray regarding the Lord's outpouring of the Spirit and regarding their commission.
Right.
Of course, Witness Lee said in the footnote there that God once wanted to pour out his spirit for the carrying out of his New Testament economy, and he had promised to do it, yet he still needed his chosen people to pray for this. So as God in heaven, he needs men on the earth to cooperate with him for the carrying out of his plan. And this is really similar to the case there at the time of the haystack there at Williams College in
Right.
1806 there in Massachusetts.
It's quite an inspiring thing, Marty. So may the Lord, He continue to blow upon us, right? And even move within us, right? We want to cooperate with Him in prayer for His interests on the whole earth.
All right, Bill. Well, thanks. And we'll stop here today and enjoy the time together considering this testimony of these college students there at Williams College.